download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J
Mornings with Zan.
No, we definitely didn't set out to make it that way. It's just, like, over the period of 2 years, we've collated a bunch of songs. And, like, it just so happens the better ones are these songs. And they're all, like, poppy. And I think it's because when we were making the album, if the song wasn't popular to everyone in the band, then it didn't make the album. So, like, essentially all these songs are popular to us. So, yeah, I guess that's the definition of pop.
For us, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a place where love is warm, we fall together. Now we're warm. The future, yeah, it stays true. The future, yeah, it stays true.
How long did you actually spend putting these songs together? How many years or months are these songs culled from?
Well, Honolulu was one of the first songs we basically ever wrote 4 years ago, I think it was. And that's made the album. So a song like Honolulu was right at the start. And then the last song on the album, Repair, was probably the last song we wrote. And that was during pre-production. So that was right before we started recording. Mm. So they've probably been compiled over like a 4 year period, basically our entire career.
For those older songs that have been around a little bit longer, how did they work into a theme for the record? Was it weird having some of those older stories in with the new, if you're thinking about a kind of cohesive idea?
Yeah, definitely. Although it is an album that's supposed to, like, well, in our eyes, it's supposed to span, like, a spectrum of what Last Dinosaurs is. And, like, you know, Honolulu is one end of the spectrum and, like, another song would be another end of the spectrum. So it's, like... It's a good representation of, like, all aspects that we think about in life.
Is there a theme to the album? Because life's a big theme.
The recurring theme that I didn't really pick up on till recently, lyrically especially, is that we refer to it as futuristic nostalgia, because lyrically when I write, I can't really write about the present in a present sort of context. So I had to... Well, I've always done this. I've distanced myself from the present by thinking of it from a future perspective, as if it's from, like, a wiser sort of point of view, so that I could, you know, analyse the situation properly and really give it some thought without any sort of bias or anything. That whole melancholy is something I'm fascinated with too, and futuristic nostalgia is something that ties in with melancholy, I think.
Sounds like you're always getting ahead of yourself, Sean.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
It's exhausting.
It is a little bit exhausting.
Every day I try to work out how to in any way clear my thoughts of doubt. Hey there, Andy, what's this all about? He says, amen, shoot it, that's all there is to it.
Did you think about how the story would unfold with the songs and the way that you place them?
Not particularly, because there is, like, a recurring theme throughout the lyrics, but, like, there's no, like, particular pattern in terms of, like, the lyrical sense. It's more a melodical sort of aspect, the musical aspect. I'd like to think of myself as not so much a lyricist, as more a melodicist? Melodist?
Or an inventor of words.
Inventor of words.
But, yeah,
a melody maker.
Because we usually just... most of the time, 95% of the time, we'll start off with just a melody on guitar or keyboard.
Mm.
It's very rare we come up with the words first. Not to say that the words are unimportant to us, but it's just that Sean always works with like a melodic idea first.
Mm.
And I think the melodies are probably the strongest element of the album, so that's what kind of took precedent when we were kind of figuring out the track list and stuff like that.
For me, melody is the strongest way of, like, creating a picture and building an emotion, more so than lyrics, even though lyrics can be more direct and forward. Sometimes a melody, it's more subjective, so someone can make their own opinion on, like, what we're trying to communicate. And I don't know, I just always thought melody is a very, very important part, and we focus on that a lot throughout this album. That's why there's as many hooks as possible.
You don't really have to change for me. Nothing ever is the same without me. You don't really have to change for me. Nothing ever is the same without me.
Sean, I wanted to ask you a question because I read that your grandpa passed away during the recording of this album. Yeah. Did that change your view of the world and the songs you're writing, the way you're writing?
Yeah, well, first of all, like, over the last few years, I've had a multitude of things that have happened, and, like, my grandfather passing away definitely wasn't one of the biggest things to happen. It was just another part of it. But the thing that I thought about a lot was when someone dies, the thing that happens the most is you reminisce and you talk about, like, the stories that they've had. And that impacted on me a lot because I do think about immortality a lot as well. My idea of immortality is to be remembered by somebody because it's the only way that you can really stay alive. And it was just really interesting to talk about what my grandfather's done, like the amazing stories that he's created. And Zoom is like it's about making an impression on people, like family, friends, relationships, and like an impression on their world and just an impression on the world in general, because if you're remembered, that's like I said, it's my idea of immortality. So in a way, I try and think about my grandfather as much as I can, and I want to make sure that when I pass away, I'm remembered in some way, whether it be like someone plays the CD or someone like reads a book or whatever.
You're gonna write a book. Someone's gonna write a book.